Our lesson tonight is out of John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. The healing of the man born blind. Christ's giving spiritual sight to believers. John's gospel presents only 7 miracles of the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry, each of them sign miracles that reveal his person and his mission for readers to believe that he's the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing to receive eternal life. Now, viewing these sign miracles both strengthens our faith in Jesus Christ and offers us talking points in witnessing to the unsaved. So we view the 6th sign miracle, Christ's healing of the man born blind, for our edification. I'd like to read the whole chapter first before we get into this. It's very important. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who has been born blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and he washed and came back seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which were before had seen him when he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore they said unto him, How were your eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received sight. Then they said unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that at aforetime had been blind, and it was a Sabbath day when Jesus had made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he doesn't keep the Sabbath days. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, What do you say of him that he opened your eyes? He said, He's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. They asked them, saying, Is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then does he see now? His parents answered and said, We know that this is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who has opened his eyes, we do not know. He's of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Messiah, he should be excommunicated from the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age, ask him. Then again the Pharisees called the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know is that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and you didn't hear. Wherefore would you hear again? You want to be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he's from. The man answered and said to them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, he heareth him. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that had been born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, You were altogether born in sins, and do you teach us? And they excommunicated him. Jesus heard that they had cast him out or excommunicated him, And when he had found him, he said unto him, Do you believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Master or Lord, that I might believe in him? Jesus said unto him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is speaking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment am I come into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see. Therefore your sin remaineth. There's a reason why I read that whole chapter, because there's a progression, there's a development of thought that occurs throughout this thing, and it's all intentional by Jesus. And it starts with his washing the man's eyes. So to understand the sign presented in Christ's healing of the man born blind, we note in John chapter 9, verses 1 to 5, that Jesus prefaced the healing event by claiming that while he was in the world, he was the light of the world. Now what the light does, the light gives insight, it gives sight. If it's darkness, you can't see anything. So in order to see, you have to have light. And Jesus is the one who gives the light, the illumination, so that we can see. Well, upon saying this, Jesus healed the man by spitting on the ground, making clay of the spittle, anointing the man's eyes with the clay, and sending him to the pool of Siloam to wash the clay off. Now, keep in mind, the pool of Siloam is right down to the very southern tip of the old city of Jerusalem. So Jesus is up probably near the temple. So he's sending him the full length of the city. So everybody sees this blind man walking. He's got this clay on his face, on his eyes. And it's against the law to make clay, all right? So here he is, he's walking there, he got everybody's attention, walks way down to the southern end of the city, washes his eyes out of the, washes the clay off in the pool of Siloam, then he walks all the way back seeing. So everybody in the town says, hey, this guy just walked by, had some clay on his face, and all of a sudden he sees. This is the guy, we know him. So this Jesus did this intentionally in order to draw attention to the fact that the man had been seen. So there's a connection between the healing event and Christ's giving spiritual insight. So when the blind man was healed, he told onlookers that Jesus was simply a man. Note that. He starts with saying that Jesus is a man. Then he moves to the level of saying Jesus is a prophet. Then he gets to the point where he believes that Jesus is the Son of God. There is a progression here of insight into who Jesus is. Very important. Well, the people brought the healed man to the Pharisees, who asked him how he had received his sight. And when he told them Jesus made clay, anointed his eyes with it, and told him to wash it off to be healed, they criticized Jesus for violating their legalistic rule against making clay on the Sabbath. One of the many rules the Pharisees had was of this rule, that it was a violation of the Sabbath. It was work, servile work, to make clay on the Sabbath, so you don't make clay. So Jesus is intentionally rubbing the fur of the Pharisees the wrong way. He could have just said, you know, see, or he could have touched a man's eyes and healed him. But he didn't. He put clay on his, made clay, and then put it on his eyes. And he did it in order to rub the Pharisees the wrong way. It's like taking a cat and petting it backwards. Have you ever tried that? You may not want to stay around the cat very long. It gets him irritated. That's what Jesus was doing. He was intentionally trying to irritate the Pharisees. So this led the Pharisees to ask the healed man what he thought of Jesus. And this time the healed man said he's a prophet. Verse 17. More than just a mere man, like he had said of Jesus back in verse 11. So the Pharisees then asked his parents if he was the son, was their son who had been born blind, and how he could see. The parents were afraid they would be excommunicated were they to confess that Jesus is the Messiah. So they told the Pharisees their son had been born blind, but they did not know how he had gained his sight, that they should ask him about it, since he was of age and he could speak for himself. You can see the fear here of the parents. Even the parents are willing to, you know, give their son up to being excommunicated because they were terrified of this. See, if you got excommunicated from the synagogue, your children can no longer go to the synagogue school. There were a lot of business contacts that were cut off. It hurt you financially. It was a big thing to be excommunicated those days. Well, the Pharisees then tried to get the healed man to claim that Jesus was a sinner. But the healed man replied that whether Jesus was a sinner or not, once he was blind, now he could see. You can see the logic of this man who's been healed. I don't know if he's been a sinner or not. All I know is I was blind and he gave me my sight. Pretty good. He's very basic in his theology. A wonderful. how he's clarifying the truth here. Well, the Pharisees again asked the healed man what Jesus did to heal him, and the man mockingly replied that he'd already told them and asked if they intended to believe in him to be his disciples. Reacting to the healed man's mock, the Pharisees reviled him, charging him with being Jesus' disciple while they were Moses' disciple. But the man replied that it was amazing that they did not know Jesus' origin, though he had opened the eyes of one born blind, and that had never before occurred. So the healed man said Jesus was from God to heal like he did. So the man was excommunicated. You see the darkness of the Pharisees, that there's a sheer miracle that has been done, tremendous miracle of a man who'd been born blind. And the man who's been born blind, he hasn't been able to read all his life. He hasn't read anything scripture. Everything he knows about theology is what he's heard. So the Pharisees are completely without excuse for missing the point of the miracle. The point of the miracle is that Jesus is revealing himself to be God in the flesh, because back in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 6, God said that when I come, the eyes of the blind will be opened. So the Pharisees, and the Pharisees know that passage of scripture. They have willful blindness here. Well, later Jesus met the healed man to ask if he believed on the Son of God. And the healed man asked who he was, that he might believe in him. And Jesus identified himself as that one. Incidentally, this is one of the strongest claims to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ that is in all of scripture. In verse 35, do you believe on the Son of God? Remember the word Son of God, that's reference to a person who's equal with God, because the Jews took up stones earlier to throw at Jesus in John chapter 5 because he claimed to be the Son of God, which made him equal with God. The word son is huios. That's the word that is used of a son who's had his bar mitzvah. If you've had your bar mitzvah, you're equal with your father. So Jesus was claiming to be equal with the Father. So do you believe on the huios of God? The man says, who is he? And Jesus says, you've both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Jesus was telling him, I am the Son of God. Very clearly. So Jesus is claiming to be God, claiming to be deity. So, guess what? The healed man thus believed on Jesus as the Son of God, term of deity. And he confessed his faith in Jesus and worshiped him as God. A wonderful thing that the man said, verse 38, and he said, Lord, I believe. Jesus had healed him, given him eyesight, and he had been born blind. And he knew he was of God. So when Jesus said, I am the Son of God, I believe. He's flat on his face. He's worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful faith. Well, Jesus again alluded to himself as the light of the world, as he had in John 9:5, to make the spiritually blind man discern, like this healed man, by use of an eye salve, who came from viewing him as a man to being a prophet and even the Son of God. And he condemned the godless Pharisees to spiritual blindness. There's two things Jesus is doing with the clay. Three things. With the clay, he's turning off the Pharisees, and that's by design. But the other thing he's doing with the clay is he's giving the man eyesight. But with the clay, he's also giving the man spiritual insight, because the man is coming to realize the foolishness and the error of the Pharisees. So there's spiritual insight going on, there's physical insight going on, and there's spiritual blindness that's going on all at the same time with this clay. Only God can contrive something like this. The brilliance of God, it's breathtaking here. So the lesson is, by healing the man born blind through forming clay in violation of the Pharisees' legalistic rule, Jesus not only healed the man's physical blindness, but he put him into conflict with the spiritually blind Pharisees, that the healed man might discern their darkness and view Jesus as more than a man or a prophet, but the Son of God himself. So in stunning contrast, Jesus caused the spiritually blind Pharisees to remain in their spiritual blindness. Now, believe it or not, there's a similar connection between applying eye salve for spiritual insight in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. I'm just going to look at that. And this has to do with our particular era right now. This is one of the things that Jesus Christ wants believers to ask of him, eye salve. And let me count in Revelation 3:18. Jesus says, "I counsel you to buy from me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich; white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed; that the shame of thy nakedness not appear; and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Now, the only other place in Scripture where the Lord anoints someone with an eye salve was here in John 9. And what Jesus did through the eye salve was put him into conflict with people who were in error, so that through the conflict, even though it was painful and even though it caused the man to be excommunicated, through the conflict he saw the error and he came to insight, just the opposite. There's so much spiritual darkness that is going on in evangelical circles today that God wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to ask for him for eye salve. What he will do, he will arrange for us to get into conflict with those who are errant in theology. And in the conflict, even though it may be a painful experience, we will see the error and turn from it. This has been my experience for years. One day I was at a dealership. It was a Ford dealership in Torrington, and I was trying to get my car fixed. And I noticed that I'd gone through a lot of conflicts in various areas, so I started to make a list of them. I came to 17 conflicts that I'd had with Christian organizations, major Christians and everything, right in a row. And I was stunned. And each of these had revealed the error within evangelicalism and showed me truth. So this is an amazing thing. So in Revelation 3:18, this refers to the John 9, 1-41 event where the Lord used eye salve to put the blind man into conflict with the Pharisees, that he, in being persecuted by them, might gain discernment of their error while gaining insight from Jesus. Specifically, God's done this in my walk and putting me in conflict with Calvinists, and then he put me in conflict with Arminians. So I saw the error of both Calvinism and Arminianism. And that's those are two theologies that are critiqued in Revelation 3:14-22. So in John 9, Jesus revealed his ministry involves arranging for conflicts to arise between false religionists and believers to give believers, even amid persecution, spiritual insight and keep the godless in darkness. So may we trust Christ to arrange for conflicts between us and errant religionists to give us discernment amid persecution. I was amazed this morning in how there's an illustration that came up. One of the prayer requests that came in their worship service this morning was from a man by the name of Mark. He said they have some friends or relatives, I forget which one now, but they're in the Roman Catholic Church, and they're very just on the edge of beginning seriously to question the theology of that system. And so we prayed for them this morning. We have about half of our church are former Roman Catholics, and the people in our church who were in the Catholic Church will tell you that they came to a point where they saw that there was a problem. And sometimes there was a conflict of people, sometimes there wasn't. But they saw there was a contrast between what their own Catholic Bible was saying and what the Catholic Church was teaching. And they woke up and they realized, whoa, there's a problem here. Now what am I going to do? And they went in search, and then the Lord led them very gradually to come to the truth. And the people who are in a church who have come from the church have a very clear idea of the error that was there, and they see it. They have a concern. They have a love. They still have relatives that are in the Catholic Church. No problem. There are some very dear people. In fact, I believe some people in the Catholic Church actually know the Lord. About half of the people who are former Catholics in our church tell me that they did know the Lord, but they in the Catholic Church, but they didn't know anything. They were into error. The others tell me that they didn't. They didn't know Christ at all. So there's a lot of error and there's a lot of confusion there. But Christ has a way of using conflicts with religious folks to train us, to teach us, to give us discernment. And we shouldn't think that there's something wrong because we're getting into this. This is part of the program of God to reveal truth and to give us discernment. So may God help us to grow in spiritual insight as the Lord guides us and as he disciples us.